Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and we want to welcome you on this day, Tuesday, May the 4th, in the year 2021, as we have our weekly Bible study and prayer, our pastoral connect, Bible study and prayer. Let's look to the Lord for a moment. And then we're going to begin straight away. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your presence tonight and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to see this day. Thank you, Lord, that your presence abides on the inside. And because of your presence, we have peace. Your presence abides on the inside. And because of your presence, we have joy. Oh God, because your presence abides on the inside, we have an anchor for the soul, which is both sure and steadfast. And we thank you that we can come into your presence even now through the word and through prayer. Father, speak to our hearts this night. Open up the eyes of our understanding. Allow us, Lord God, to embrace this word by faith, that it may transform our lives. We thank you for the transformative power that your word releases into us so that as we embrace the word, we become like the word. Do it, Lord, as only you can. Do that work of transformation in us, and we yield ourselves to you. No resistance, no debate, no hesitation. Lord God, just work on us. Work on us, and we will give you glory. Work on us, and we will praise you in the process. Work on us, and we will remember that it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. So bless, Lord God, the words that come out of the mouth tonight of your vessel. Hide us behind the cross. Let a supernatural anointing meet us on this line. Bless those that hear these words this night, that their faith might stand in the words of God and not in the ideas, the doctrines, and the philosophies of man. To God be the glory. This is our prayer. We pray by faith, but we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Again, praise ye the Lord. We honor God and we thank him for all his blessings toward us. And tonight we are preparing our hearts to continue in the word of God. We have been sharing with you concerning the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of the apostles. We have shared with you the word of God that you may be rooted and grounded in God's word. It's important for you to understand the teachings of Christ and how those teachings apply to us. What Christ shared with the apostles have shared with the church. And so tonight, we want to encourage you to understand and to know the sanctified life brings change. To be sanctified, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost already. To be sanctified is that God is doing something in us, perfecting that which concerns us. And I'm grateful to God tonight that the Holy Ghost on the inside is a sanctifier. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you ought to give God a praise right now. I know that we are not in worship service, but my God, when we begin to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the fact that God is yet working in us, God, the work didn't stop when we spoke in tongues. The work continues. And when we yield ourselves to this ongoing work, my God, we're going to see something that's going to blow our minds. We're going to see how God will work in us and transform us that we might prove and give evidence to the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us dive right in. I'm highlighting passages of scripture where we are going to be reading tonight from, and I'm just magnifying it a bit on the screen, and I pray that all of you are able to see it. even if you have a tablet or a cell phone, and we're going to go right into it tonight. What we are dealing with now is the area of understanding fellowship amongst the saints. God has given us instruction concerning maintaining fellowship within the body of Christ. This is one thing that the enemy tries to fight tooth and nail to bring us to a place of division, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so it is important for us to understand that fellowship is crucial in terms of making God happy. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Our fellowship is not something we choose. The mechanism of maintaining fellowship is not something that we decide, but we follow God's word as it relates to maintaining fellowship amongst the saints. Let us go into the word of God. The Lord wants to speak to our hearts concerning communication amongst the saints. We're going to take our lead from the first passage of scripture, Matthew chapter number 5, verse 23 through 26. This is where we left off a bit last week. We're going to, actually 2 weeks ago now, we're going to backtrack just a bit. Like I said, it's been 2 weeks. And so I want to make sure that these passages resonate within your spirit. I believe, and I'm thank you for putting up in the chat the passages that you're going to volunteer to read tonight. I really appreciate that. Thank you so very much. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 26, and then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. I believe Junior Deacon Austin has the first passage, and then Sister McCullum has the second passage. Okay, let's begin reading, please.
If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou have paid the last farthing.
Okay, farthing. That's a denomination of money. It basically means until you pay the last cent. A farthing was one of the smallest of the Roman bronze coins. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ lets us to know that there will come a time when you might forget that there was an ought, or there was a disagreement, or there was some matter that was unresolved. And I think we need to be careful with how we define this, this word ought. The word ought means unresolved matters. And so these unresolved matters, if you come to the altar to pray and you realize that there's this unresolved matter, and it generally speaks of the issues of grievances or offenses, it's not just any matter, like you forgot to put a coin in the parking meter, or you might need to put more coins in the washer or dryer at the store. It's not that kind of matter. It's a matter of grievance, a matter of contention or disagreement, anything that brings disunity. And so if a matter that has that will threaten the unity comes back to your mind, you remember this when you come to pray, or you come into worship. And this is not limited to a physical space. It is just entering into the act of worship, entering into the act of prayer. And you are about to give your gift, your offering of worship, your offering of praise unto God. The Bible says, leave your gift there. In other words, stop what you're doing and go be reconciled. Be reconciled. First, be reconciled to thy brother or your sister, and then come back. So you've got to stop and go and come back. The Lord is saying, leave your offering, leave your worship, go make peace, and then come back and present your gift. That's the standard that God has called us to. The scripture says to do this quickly. Agree with your adversary quickly. And don't get stuck up on the word adversary. Don't make it more than what it is. You may have a disagreement with someone and something inside you say, well, they're not my adversary. That's my brother. Well, right. So don't get stuck on that word adversary. The issue is, if there's something that you've got to address, a matter that needs to be reconciled, a matter to be reconciled. And again, these are based on the terms of God, God's terms, the Lord's terms, not our terms. We often will define a thing based upon our perception. And if we use our perception of it, we can define ourselves right out of doing what the Word of God says do. And so I don't want you to get stuck on the word adversary. I want you to get focused on the action that's been called. Do it quickly. A lot of times people don't want to deal with these issues. and they'll minimize the need to deal with it, but you're actually acting in disobedience to scripture. Just because you don't think it's necessary to address it, the question is, does God say to do that? And if God says to do it, then you got to do it. Now, the scripture is speaking and it uses the word brother. And so it would be understandable that this speaks concerning the body of Christ, your brother and sister in Christ. But I think that what's important is that we don't try to limit the scope of scripture. The disciples try to do that with Jesus, and we'll get to that in a moment when we're talking about how many times we are supposed to forgive. And I think that the point of view here is that if you're dealing with something that's got you at odds with someone, there's a complaint, a disagreement, a grievance, etc. Because the Bible talks about peacemakers, and when it talks about peacemakers, it doesn't restrict the audience to whom peace is given, doesn't restrict the person to whom you are making peace with. And so I think it's important to understand the breadth of it and not be legalistic, as it were, with it, straining at a gnat, et cetera, et cetera. And so agree quickly while you are in the way or in the opportunity, at the earliest opportunity, to get it resolved. And the consequence of not doing it quickly is that you let this slip and then there's consequences. That's what the scripture is saying. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and thou be cast into prison. And so this Jesus is saying, do it quick so that there's no room for consequences. Do it quick so that there's no room for the enemy to come in. And the truth of the matter is, you do want to do this quick anyhow, not necessarily for the consequence sake, but so you can get back into the presence of God and give him your offering. You don't want to not give God your offering because you're being derelict with reconciliation. He says, go first, be reconciled, then come back and offer your gift. So you don't need to be dragging your feet when it comes down to reconciliation. You need to make that a priority. And as a matter of fact, I think that's a good word to use in this lesson, that fellowship is a priority and we ought to treat it as such. Amen. Let's go on to 1 John chapter 4. Dr. Marbury, I believe, has that. That's Sister McCollum. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21.
1 John 4, 20-21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also.
Amen. Thank you so much. What's crucial here is that the idea is love. Love is the motivating factor. If we say we love God and we don't work with our brother or sister, again, let's not get hung up on a gender distinction here. The brethren was often used as a generic term indicating the body of Christ or the body of believers. And so if you are in love with God, you cannot help but be in love with your brother. Jesus doesn't even understand. God doesn't even understand any kind of model where a person can say they love God, but they don't love their brother. That model doesn't exist in the mind of God. Oh, God, help me, Holy Ghost. And sometimes we are allowing for a model of life that's inconsistent with Scripture. This is not following after the patterns of man. We are called to follow after the patterns of godliness. Follow peace with all men, the Scripture says. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. This is not an optional lifestyle. This is a command from God. If anyone says, I love God, but you're working against your brother or your sister, the Scripture uses a strong word. It says you're a liar. And a liar is not someone that has made a mistake with truth. A liar is someone that deliberately twists it or misrepresents it. That's a lie. And it doesn't say that he has lied. The Scripture is strong. God's position on this is strong. It doesn't say that the brother or sister has lied as it relates to an act of lying. This runs so deep that John is saying, if somebody acts this way, they've not only committed an act, but they're embodying a lie, because it's just inconceivable for someone to have the Holy Ghost and not love their brother. God help us on this line tonight. It's not a model after the Holy Ghost. If anyone says, I love God, loving God includes loving people. God help me on this line tonight. You can't love God and not love people. And I know that this may be stretching some folks a bit. Well, if that's what the Holy Ghost is doing, then thank God for the Holy Ghost. You cannot love God and not love people. And most importantly, the people of God. You cannot love God and not love God's people. The model doesn't exist in the mind of God. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 35. That's a big bite. So again, we have gone through this passage the last time, but the Holy Ghost moved on me that it must be read again. And so the Holy Ghost must have something to say. All right, our son Dale Daniel has that passage, and we're going to ask him to begin at this time. Again, this is Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 35. God bless you, son.
Thank you. I'm going to be reading this in the New American Standard Bible, where first verse 15 begins. Now, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that on the testimony of two or three witnesses, every matter may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, he is to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I still forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his master commanded that he be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the master of that slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he would pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had happened. Then, summoning him, his master said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his master, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he would repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart.
This is one of the most powerful passages of scripture concerning the Lord's position on reconciliation. Oftentimes, we focus on the aspect of reconciliation from the point of view of us being reconciled unto God through the offering of Jesus Christ, his blood being shed on our behalf, that we can be forgiven of our sins and be reunited with God. I think it's a powerful statement to make and something that needs to be repeated, that the blood of Jesus Christ reconciles us back to God. It brings us back into a position that God had already originally ordained for us, that we would be in fellowship. It's important to consider the sacrifice of Christ was connected with God's desire to renew fellowship with us so that nothing could interfere with us being together. God turned his back on Jesus so that he would never have to turn his back on you. How great is the love of God toward us in that while we were yet sinners, God orchestrated the plan of the offering of Jesus Christ. It wasn't when we got ourselves together, as many people will require someone to do when it comes down to forgiveness, that they would require that there is some evidence before forgiveness is even given. You've got to show me something. You've got to give me a reason to forgive. I'm not just going to forgive you because you asked for it. How do I know you really mean what you say? How do I know that you really are sorry for what you did? And I know that while some may not say these words, these thoughts could run through your mind. The problem is, if those thoughts begin to affect your action, because we know the devil will always try to plant something in our minds. Discipline is connected with fellowship. My God, my God, my God. Woo! There cannot be fellowship without discipline. Oh, God. If your brother trespass against thee, you are to go to your brother one-on-one and reconcile and then come and worship. Attempt to reconcile with your brother because Christ is present in the midst of us. Christ is in the midst of us. He's not just in the midst of us when we are in a church building. If that would be the case, then having been out of the church building for over a year, we'd be in a heap of mess. We must understand that Christ is in our midst. And that if there is anything that seeks to bring division amongst us, it's not of God. If you go to your brother who has hurt you and you go to you have gained your brother. You have strengthened your bond. Sometimes people don't want to deal with these issues because they feel that if I deal with it according to scripture, I might lose a friend. You see how much the devil plays on people's emotions? I don't want to disturb the peace. I don't want to rock the boat. But by the lack of discipline, you're inviting sin. Oh, God help us on the line tonight. By exercising this process, we keep the body pure. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. If you are rejected in your attempt, do not stop the process. Come on, somebody. If you are rejected in the attempt to reconcile, you are not given a green light to stop the process. You must take it to another level. You bring one or two with you so that there are witnesses established. We want to establish holiness as a practice in the body, and following the scriptures is obeying the doctrines of Christ. If you don't follow scripture, you are resisting the doctrine. Look at this very seriously, because witnesses matter. When God establishes something, there's a witness. My God, my God, my God. Woo! Now, these witnesses here are not your buddies that are going to be your buddies, and it looks like you're coming to gang up on the person. The character of the witnesses is crucial. It must be someone or some ones that both hold in respect. This is not me and my buddies coming up to gang up on you, or you and your buddies coming to gang up on me. We are executing the word of God to maintain holiness in the body. If they reject the witnesses and you. And sometimes we do things one time and then we throw up our hands. The scripture is not saying this, but I believe that the intent is that we do as much as we can to reconcile. And so if I've got to go to you once or maybe twice, amen, because I want to reconcile it on one level before it has to go to another. I'm not going to do it one time and then throw my hands up and say, okay, well, now I'm going to go get the witnesses. And if they don't want to hear it, then I'm going to take it up higher to the church and then the person's going to get excommunicated. No, no, no. Or silence. No, 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 no. The idea is healing, not revenge. Lord, have mercy. The idea is to bring together, not to act or make it seem as if you are in power over the offender. You're not exercising power. You're exercising love. And if your spirit is not the spirit of love, then you are operating in the wrong spirit. Oh, God. If you are not operating in the spirit of love, then you are operating in the wrong spirit. If they will not hear you and the witnesses, then the matter should be brought up to the church. If they are not reconciled by your attempt, if they are not reconciled with the witnesses who assist in the process, then the matter of the offense needs to be brought to the officials of the church. Depending on the nature of the offense, whether it's public or private, if it's private, it will be brought to the pastor and it will be dealt with privately. If it's public, it will be brought to the pastor and the pastor will deal with it publicly. But if they refuse to be reconciled after the matter has come before the officials of the church, then the officials are required to lovingly discipline the party or parties who are unwilling to reconcile. The entire church is to pray for the unwilling parties, for their spiritual state is little better than the heathen or the unregenerate. We must be careful to seek peace and pursue it. Ultimately, we have to realize that if we don't forgive our brother and sister, then God will not forgive us. The scripture goes on to talk about the authority amongst believers. And this is in the context of this discipline and spiritual matter of reconciliation. Our operation, whatever we do, must be in line with what the scripture says do, because then God says amen. I'm going to say it one more time. Whatever we do must line up with what scripture has said. The witness of the scripture is in heaven. Ishanarabosha. Woo! Jesus is the witness of the word. He is the word incarnate. Whatever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven. It shall have been already bound. It's already done. And what that speaks to is the idea of being in line with the word, because heaven will never be out of sync with scripture. God help me on this line tonight. The spirit of heaven is in the word. Woo! The spirit of God is in the scriptures. And if we operate according to scripture, then we are in line with the spirit in heaven. If we operate outside of it, then we are in violation of the same. And whatever we bind or take authority over, and some of you on the slide, you are dealing with issues that you have not taken authority over. And the Holy Ghost is saying, take authority. Take authority over your flesh. Take authority over your emotions. Take authority over your attitude. You are not a puppet on a string. You are anointed by the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever you loose on earth, my God from glory, heaven has permitted the release. Oh, God. When you operate in scripture, you flow in divine favor. And whatsoever you loose on earth, it's already been loosed in heaven. If you agree, if two of you shall agree on earth about anything that they may ask, this is why, and again, this underscores the power of our oneness, of our unity. Sometimes we use these verses to talk about demons. You need to understand these verses in the context of humans, in the context of your spirit. Hey, glory to God. If two of you on earth shall agree about anything that you ask, Jesus said, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And then he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. 18, 19, and 20. Those verses in my spirit speak to something of a progressive move. Let me explain. 18 talks about one person. Doesn't say a group. Doesn't say a gang. Doesn't even say two. It says one. And so one person has this authority. One person has this power. One person can do this. Whew. But the scripture says two are better than one. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to a flight. And so if two of you shall agree, you don't need a crowd. You just need somebody that's got some faith. You got to have faith and you got to hook up with somebody that's got some faith. And if you come together in prayer concerning anything, God will take care of it. So we move from the one person in power to two people in power, getting God to move on their behalf to the third level of the presence of the Lord in the midst of worship, in the midst of coming together, where two or three are gathered together in my name. When we come together in the name of Jesus, it's to accomplish the things of God. Oh, my God, my God. And we first start in his presence, even on our face in prayer, with our hands lifted up in praise, with our hearts lifted in worship. And in the midst of that is a transforming experience. Because you cannot be in God's presence and come out the same way you've come in. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. Woo! I'm talking to somebody by the Holy Ghost, and you need to write it down on your paper. You will not leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Peter says, listen, I hear what you're saying, Jesus, but this is, I'm going to use a colloquialism from our day. This is getting tight. Jesus said, yeah, it's tight, but it's right. You're talking about forgiving somebody seven times. Well, you got a glimpse, but you're not fully there. I don't say that you should forgive up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Forgiveness without limit. Sounds like something we appreciate when it comes down to getting it from others. The Lord is saying, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Then he gives us a very graphic example of forgiveness in a person who owed a tremendous debt, how they could not conceivably make payment on that debt. And they begged and they pleaded and they were released. They got on their face, they did what they needed to do because the consequence was bigger than they could pay. The consequence was more than they could afford. And they begged to please give me a chance and I'll pay it back. The king, look at what the scripture said. The Bible says in verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Do you understand what that means? That means the king erased the whole debt. In monetary terms, this was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the king wiped the slate clean. We're talking about 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, to put it in context, one talent of silver was worth more than 15 years' wages. Did y'all hear what I just said? One talent of silver was worth more than 15 years' wages. One talent of gold was worth even more. 10,000 talents would be an inconceivable amount of a debt for a slave who's in the king's service to repay. This is a slave. Let's put it all in context. This was not a wealthy person who owed another wealthy person. This was a slave who owed a king. And the king forgave him of everything. Everything. The full debt was wiped away. Then he leaves, finds one of his fellow servants. This is a peer. Now he's finding a peer who owed him 100 pence. Now, this is like the equivalent of $10. God have mercy. It was conceivably nothing. And he got all bent out of shape, acted all contrary, beat up the person, threw him in prison. He choked him. He grabbed him by the neck and choked him. Got physical. What nerve! And all of this was seen by other peers. This was after the fellow slave fell down on his knees and begged for forgiveness. Consequently, the word got back to the king, that servant that didn't forgive his peer. Well, y'all know the story. He was punished. He was punished to the extent of his unforgiving heart. I want you to hear this. He wasn't punished to the extent of the debt he owed, because the debt he owed was erased. The king didn't come back to him now and say, okay, well, I'm going to throw you in prison for what you owed me. The king's response to that servant was based upon his wicked and unforgiving spirit. And it was that wickedness that caused him to not forgive his peer, and the contempt with which he treated his peer, throwing him into jail, getting physical with him. It was that was turned into the judgment placed upon the first servant. So forgive. Forgive. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 through 10. I think Dr. Marbury, yeah.
Luke 17, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto him, this sycamore tree, be thy plucked up by the root, and be thy planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant pulling or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drinken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Do he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trot not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
Amen. This passage of scripture underscores the aspect that sometimes we ask for stuff and it ain't got nothing to do with what the Lord is teaching us. Jesus tells the disciples, again, if you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If your brother trespass against thee, correct him. Okay. If he responds, okay, forgive him and keep it moving. If he trespass against you seven times in a day, okay, seven times in a day, turn again, and he says, I'm sorry, forgive. And because this is such a delicate issue or such a challenging issue, this is one of the biggest issues of the flesh that you will have to deal with. Forgiveness. And the profound irony is that this is one of the things you so desperately need in your own life. Forgiveness. Nevertheless, here we see the disciples saying, Lord, give us faith. They're asking for faith when they need to be obedient. And so, okay, Jesus entertains the idea. He says, okay, well, if you have faith, even the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a tree, speak that it be plucked up, that it be cast into the sea, and it's going to obey you. So Jesus says, okay, you know, if you're talking about faith, then this is the kind of thing that faith will do. And then he shifts gears on him. He says, let me tell you something, though. This is not really what this is all about. It's not about the tree obeying you. And I love what Jesus does. The end of verse 6, he talks about the tree obeying their voice. The real heart of the issue is them obeying Jesus' voice. But I love the way he does it. He says, okay, well, let me give you a story. Jesus always had stories, always had parables. Which of you, having a servant, working in the field, working, doing what he's supposed to do, he comes into the house to sit down and you tell him, oh, go ahead and have something to eat. He says, but under normal circumstances, what would probably happen is that you'll say, get ready to prepare my supper, gird yourself and serve me, make sure that I've been taken care of. And then when you're done doing that, then you can go and eat and drink. And some may see that it's a hard example, but it's getting a message across. Some may say, well, if he worked out in the field, if they worked out in the field all day, maybe I'll give them a break and let them come in and get something to eat and then take care of me afterwards. Okay, you know, God bless your sweetheart. Jesus is trying to make a point here. He says, do you think he's going to thank the servant because the servant did what was commanded? Jesus said, I don't think so. And now he hits him with the message. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which I have commanded you, where you're at in terms of the scale is that you're not any better because you did what I told you to do. You did what you were supposed to do. Oh, God, I know this is hard. I know this is not necessarily an easy pill to swallow, but Jesus said it. What you were told to do is what you did to do. And you're not deserving of praise or reward because you did what you were supposed to do. You did it because that was what you were supposed to do. Lord, have mercy. That's what Jesus said. Obedience is not obedience in this case. To forgive is not an option, and neither is it something that you'll be rewarded for, because the bottom line is, this is what you're supposed to do. So as grand as forgiveness is, Jesus breaks it down that this is what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, in fact, you're unprofitable servants. Or not even that. He said, I mean, Jesus is not playing. He must have really got upset. They must have touched a nerve. Because he said, when you have done everything that was commanded, you should still turn around and say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We didn't go above and beyond. We did what we were supposed to do. And that's what Jesus said. So you can take it up with Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. I think Sister Lowry has that. Can she unmute?
Yes, I'm sorry, Bishop. I was so intensively listening to you.
No problem. No problem. Read on.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
You have to understand that there is a quality of peace that is a part of a child of God's character. Oh, God, help me on this phone tonight. Help me on this lesson tonight, Lord. Peace is a part of the character of the child of God. It's a part of our spiritual DNA. Oh, God. There are things that are of the flesh, spirit, attitudes of the flesh. And you have to understand that the flesh is designed to pull us away from God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Through 25, and this is just an extra bit of verse that I'm sharing with you tonight that the Lord dropped in my spirit. You got to be careful with the works of the flesh, because you are either operating in your flesh or you are operating in the spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost, according to scripture, you are either acting in your flesh or you are acting in the Holy Ghost. And the works of the flesh are clear: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunken, carousing behavior, and anything like this. Paul warns the Galatians that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means that they are outside the kingdom. God have mercy. That lifestyle is outside the kingdom. I wouldn't want to be outside the kingdom when the rapture takes place, I don't want to be outside the kingdom at all. As a matter of fact, I got in the kingdom because I didn't like it on the outside. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, God. Those that are operating in the calming nature of the Holy Spirit, the character of God. My God, my God. Well, it's 8 o'clock and I've got to let you go. We'll have to pick it up at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and then one final look into Matthew 18 by the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants us to understand that fellowship with Him is no joke. He does not take fellowship lightly. It is one of the doctrines of Christ and one of the doctrines of the apostles, the teaching of the apostles, the commandment of Christ and the doctrine of the apostles. We must follow the commandments of Christ. This is a command. Forgiveness is not an option. And while we know that there are many issues in life that will burden a soul or even break a soul, the Lord, His Spirit, is a healing spirit. We can't just talk this thing. We got to believe this. We must speak it, because when we speak it, we release it into the atmosphere. And so God knows what we are dealing with in our flesh. Don't think He does not know, but the Lord giveth more grace. He will give you what you need to obey His word. He's not going to put a standard before you and then not enable you to live it. His standards are livable in the Holy Ghost. This is why you must be, don't you see? You've got to be born again. We're going to move now into the portion of our Bible study, the night of our fellowship, where we go into intercessory prayer. Prayer being made for the body of Christ, prayer being made for our brothers and sisters in Beulah Tabernacle, prayer being made for those who are in sin, who need to be freed and delivered. Our God specializes. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so tonight, beloved, I'm going to ask that the representatives would prepare themselves. Representative from the brotherhood, representative from the sisterhood, representative from the youth ministry. And it is by design that this should be rotational so that every single one of you would participate. Every man, every woman, and every young person. You should coordinate with your respective leaders. But it is expected for everyone to take an opportunity to come and pray. We are a people of prayer. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Those that worry don't pray. And those that pray don't worry. We will give space at this time that our prayer leaders will unmute themselves and lead us before the throne of grace. Let us begin.
Gracious and eternal God, our Father, Master of the universe, the one who breathed his breath into our lungs and made us living souls. Right now, Father, we bring that breath back to you, and we offer you the sacrifice of praise. We thank you for the reality that we have, number one, an opportunity to come boldly before your throne of grace. But we thank you, secondly, because we are able to do it in unity as one. And we thank you for that, dear God, because as was alluded to earlier by Bishop Michael, dear God, we don't have to be physically together for you. We don't have to be physically together for you to be in our midst, because your word tells us that where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing, that you would be there in the midst. So, Father, as you have put this on his heart to talk to us, dear Lord, and to teach on the reality of fellowship being important, we just thank you, dear God, that it's not just something that shows up when you were here walking amongst us on earth. It's not just something that you spoke to your disciples about, but it is something that you spoke about from the beginning of all things when you told us that it is not good for man to be alone. You made companions for every last one of the animals, and then you outright said that it was not good for man to be alone. And I thank you, dear God, because that reality does not just limit itself to a husband and wife relationship, but it is expanded, Father, to the reality that you even went on to make families so that we could actually have fellowship amongst ourselves. So right now, dear Lord, we just thank you for the reality that you are always up to something good. I heard one songwriter say that even when we don't see it, you're working, and you never stop working. You gave us rest, but your word tells us that the God that keeps Israel does not slumber or sleep. So we honor you right now, dear Lord, because you always hear. We honor you right now, dear God, because you continually make time for your children. And in so doing, you are modeling for us what you are asking us to do, to be available for fellowship. We praise you and we bless your name. And we ask, dear God, as the disciples did, that you would give us more faith so that we would be able to obey what it is that you have told us to do. Keep us as we go this day, dear Lord. Bind us together with chains that cannot be broken. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord, Father God, in the mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we honor you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for grace. We thank you for everything, everything, the things that you have done, the things that we don't understand. We thank you, Lord, creating us. We thank you for loving us. Your unmerited love, oh God. We thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. Lord, Father God, Lord, you're the God that knows all things. And we know that there is nothing hidden from you. You know our soul, you know our spirit, you know our mind. You even know things that's going to happen way down the line. You already know the things that we are getting ready to do. But Lord, you instructed us to forgive our fellow brothers and sisters, no matter what. Lord Jesus, Lord, you told us, and this is something that you told that we must do, God. We must do it. If we have an issue with our fellow brothers and sisters, you instructed us to go to that person and that person alone. You didn't instruct us to talk about it to this and that and this and start a whole new gossip. That's not of you, Lord. Lord, you instruct us to go to that person and that person alone. And you gave us multiple instructions what we need to do. Lord, we need to do it, Jesus. Lord, help us to do the things that you want us to do, because if we don't forgive our fellow brothers and sisters, you said that you're not going to forgive us. You won't forgive me. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. We need your forgiveness. And help me, help us not to discriminate. We forgive what we want to forgive, or hold grudges or things we want to hold on to. Help us, Lord, to let things go and give it to you, Lord. And let us not hold things in our heart and build up all these things that's not of you, because, Lord, you are the God of love. And as was taught today, you said, blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers, but the peacemakers, Lord. And I don't want to be a troublemaker. Lord, help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do, to be a child, your children, your child, oh God. And I know it's not all about me, because if I don't follow your will, how can I help somebody else to enter your kingdom? Because you're all about love and you care. You care so much for us that you died on Calvary for all of us. It didn't matter if you were tall, fat, white, black, orange. It doesn't matter, because you create everything. Everything on this world, it is your creation. And who am I to judge the next person because you made them a different way, or they act a different way, they have a different personality? Who am I to judge? Because, Lord, you told me not to judge. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I must. You said I must do your will in order for me to enter into the kingdom of God. This is a must that I must do to forgive my fellow brothers and sisters, oh God. Lord, create in us, oh God, a clean heart and purify our hearts, oh God. Whatever's in my heart, in our hearts, oh God, purge it. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for our sins, oh God. Forgive me, oh God. Let me, oh God, let me do what needs to be done, oh God. If I have an order against my brother or sister, oh God, let me forgive them, oh God, because you know what? They have a soul, oh God. They need to be saved, oh God. Help me not to be a hindrance to someone that want to be saved. I don't want to hinder anyone, Lord Jesus, Lord. Help me. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, to do the right thing, to be obedient to your word, to do your word. Your word is true. Obedience, you said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Help me to obey your word, oh God. Purge out everything that shouldn't be, oh God. And you said, if I be obedient, if I do your word, you will forgive me, and I shall eat the good of the land, Lord. Help us. Help us to love our sisters and brothers no matter what, oh God. Yes, yes, we sometimes hurt each other, but sometimes it's not intentional. And how can I know if I don't approach the person that hurt might hurt me? Lord, give us the grace, oh God. Give us the know-how to approach our brothers and sisters, not with an attitude, because that's not how you want us to do it. Get rid of our attitude, the bad attitude. You know, Lord, you know, you're the God that knows all things, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for your help. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, for sending help from the sanctuary and strengthen us out of Zion, because, Lord, you know we need help. We need your help. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us, oh, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for putting the teachings in our bishop to teach us the way that we should walk this walk, to do your will, not just talk it, but to do it, Lord. But let us help us to do it, Lord. And I thank you, God, for helping us, oh God. And I thank you, God, for teaching us, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for Bishop Horacy Michael allowing you to use him for your glory to teach your people. Because if we're not taught properly, oh God, we will fall in a ditch, because you said in your word, how can a blind lead the blind? They'll both fall in a ditch. And I thank you, God, for opening up our bishop's eyes to see the need of the people. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for supplying the need according to your riches and glory. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for supplying the need, because we need you, Jesus, in a mighty way. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Ha. Ooh. Ooh. Ha.
God, we come before you thanking you for this day and seeing us fit to walk this world right now. We thank you for breathing new breath, new life within us. God, we come before you and ask for forgiveness, to forgive us for anything that we said or we thought wrong, God. We thank you, God, for just being you, God. We thank you for this reminder on tonight and knowing that you still love us beyond our sins. Yes, we may fall short, God, but we thank you that we can still come to you, God, with open arms. We thank you, God, for this reminder of knowing that Jesus sacrificed himself to renew our fellowship with you, God. God, we thank you. God, I thank you for everyone that's on this line, God. Cover them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, God. God, we thank you for you just being you, God, and ordering our footsteps, God. God, tear down any division walls that anyone is facing right now. Turn the situation around from what it looks like, God. We thank you for you just being you, God. We thank you for the discipline that you have bestowed upon us, God, so that when you say to do something, we will do it. Continue to lead us and guide us in all that we say and do. Cover us, God, as we go about our days. We thank you for breathing new life, new breath within us, God. Continue to love on us, God. God, how can we love you and not love our brother? Continue to bring love within us, within this world, God. We thank you for you just being you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we bless your name this night, and we thank you for the spirit of love. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and soundness in our minds. Thank you that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord, that in the Holy Spirit, you have not left anything out that we need to conquer. You have given us everything in the Holy Ghost. Christ, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him who is the head of the body. You have raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places, Lord, thank you. You raised us up. Thank you. You thought enough about us before we could even think about ourselves. Thank you that you made provision even when we were yet in prison. You provided our freedom while we were yet in bondage. And then you called us by our name. You made it personal. It wasn't just for the world that would come to Jesus. For you love the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. But Lord, you made it personal by calling us by name. You understood where we were. You reached us right where we needed it. You healed us where we were broken, and you did it personally. Thank you that even in this personal walk, you have brought us into the unity of the Holy Spirit. Ah, God, there is one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. It is that oneness. That Jesus prayed and said, Lord, I pray that they be one even as we are one. Lord, Father, look on us now that we will operate in the spirit of power, in the spirit of love, in the spirit of soundness through the word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. You called us to obedience. Some may call this a call to faith, but you call us to obedience and remind us that it is better to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All of the religious exterior operations amount to nothing if we're not obedient to your word. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the spirit of obedience on this line right now that will help us to understand the doctrines that Christ has shared. Teach us what we must believe. The essentials of holy living, the doctrines of the apostles, teach us what we must do. We must practice what Christ preached. And so we commit ourselves into your hands, thanking you for the enriching power of your word, so that we would not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. We thank you for this night, for these precious souls that are here with us and those that will hear this lesson. And now, Lord God, yes, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, teach us to pray as you taught your disciples to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.